program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are glad that you have tuned in to 91.5 FM WMIE, Today's Modern Worship. And they've got a lot of Christmas music that Paul has put into the rotation during the holiday season, and it's not all the same song played 15,000 times by the same artist and all that sort of stuff. So hopefully you get a little bit more variety there during the Christmas season. But this coming Sunday at Merit Assembly of God, that will officially mark the week of, we hit our 26th anniversary at the church, and so we're excited about that. That'll actually come up midweek to late week next week. But we are also this coming week going to be mentioning Fire Bibles. Fire Bibles are Pentecostal study Bibles that we put in the hands of pastors around the globe, many of whom who do not have a Bible in their own native tongue. And so can you imagine if I was trying to preach from a French Bible, because I had 1 year of French. Now my 1 year of French messed up three good solid study years of Spanish, but I can't imagine having to try and understand and communicate the Word of God in French after having only 1 year of French. Well, many times that's what happens. And There have been some real interesting stories of some interesting interpretations that pastors had to certain passages of Scripture simply because they didn't understand. And so once a year, twice a year, we tend to focus on Fire Bibles and trying to raise a little bit of money to send to those projects. There are several languages that we are working on to try and translate the study notes. Many of them have Bibles, but they don't have study notes to help them to understand what is going on. So those things are coming up in this coming Sunday. We'll be making an emphasis on that. I'm also going to be traveling here in the not too distant future to Fiji and ministering in the Bible school, or actually will be partaking in a conference at the beginning part and then preaching in some very remote regions, third world conditions in Fiji. There's some really nice plush resort areas, but there are also a lot of places that are very, very third worldish. And I've got a person that is heading the trip from our church, and so wherever he goes, that's where I'm going. And so we're really excited about what God is going to be doing there. Pray with us, if you would, that there would be souls that get saved. I'm not going on vacation. This is a missions trip. And when I go on a missions trip, I go to work. And so we're really excited about what God has coming up in the near future. We also have several exciting things that are going on. We've got our kids' Christmas party that is coming up. We've got our adult Christmas dinner. Well, our family Christmas dinner. It's for our church. That's coming up on the 16th. We've got our Christmas Eve communion service. Lots of things coming up. So if you want to check out our upcoming events, you can go to meritassembly.com. The most current and up-to-date information is always on Facebook. My daughters do some very interesting and unique announcements on there. They are not boring. And, you know, if you want to check out their videos, they have a much different way of communicating information than what I've got. So check them out on our Facebook page, Merit Assembly of God. So with that being said, we're talking about the will of God. God has a will. He has a will for mankind. His will involves timing. It involves placement. It involves relationships. And he has a will for your life and for my life. We're going to be looking at that today. We talked about in everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We've talked about that. 1 Thessalonians 4 said, this is the will of God, your sanctification. It is God's will for you to be set apart for holy purposes. Today, we're going to look at another one of those declarative statements out of 1 Peter chapter 2. If we get that far in the passage, we're going to begin reading at verse number 9 today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. When I was in Bible college, this was our class verse. I can still remember it. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So that's what we're going to look at today. And Peter begins to speak to this group of people, and he says, you need to realize that you are a chosen generation, that you have been selected by God for such a time as this. Generation speaks to the time frame in which we live. Many people want to go back to the good old days. Many people are fantasizing about what it's going to be like when they get to a certain stage. What I tell parents is quite simply this: enjoy the stage that you have with your children, because many of us have spent too much time deceiving ourselves, thinking that, well, if we just get through this stage, the next stage is going to be a lot more pleasant. Well, I will tell you this: the next stage is going to have different things than what this current stage has. If you have newborn kids, they cry at night, they get hungry in the night, they make messes in the night, and they tend to interrupt your sleep. But I can tell you that when they get to be teenagers, they will make messes, but different messes. They will keep you awake at night, but it will be for different reasons than what they keep you awake for now. They just have different challenges, and a lot of times those challenges cost a lot more money. So I caution everybody and say, look, for this season that God has placed you in this generation, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Say, God, you have chosen this season in my life. Seasons don't come to stay forever, and so I want to make the most of every opportunity that I have in this particular season. I happen to really enjoy this season of the climate in Florida, where the temperatures can be a little more moderate. There can be some cooler nights, but it's not nearly as brutal cold as I've been in some other places. My electric bill plummets during this season of the year, and for that I am extremely, extremely thankful. And you can go outside. You know, there can be days where it starts off cool of a morning, warms up in the afternoon, and then cools right back down at night. It is just a very enjoyable time, at least from my perspective. I've got friends that they despise this time of the year because they have no blood. they don't like anything that resembles cold. And for them, cold is anything below 80 degrees. And, you know, they say, okay, we've had our one day of winter. Let's go back. The temperature was 65 degrees. If we recognize that God has chosen us, then, you know, that puts us in a much different mindset. We realize that we are not here by accident. The things that we are facing are not by coincidence. So, I was in conversation with someone here recently. They had an event that took place in their past, and they made this statement: I had no idea that the event that took place in my past was going to be able to be used for ministry in my future, but that is exactly what is taking place. And so when we think about in everything give thanks, like we were talking about, and we realize that we're a chosen generation, we realize that God doesn't waste anything. He's going to use everything that happens in our life as an opportunity to either teach us or to give us some experience that is going to benefit other people if we will just allow Him to lead us and guide us. So we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Okay, now you need to understand that there in the Old Testament there was a substantial break between the royalty and the priesthood. One of the kings decided that he wanted to be like the other kings, and they served as a priest in their own idolatrous religion. And so this king said, you know what? I'm going to go in and I'm going to make sacrifice to my God. After all, I'm the king. Who can stop me? Well, when he got in there, the priest said, you are someplace where you should not be. This is not something a person takes upon themselves. This is a privilege that is assigned by God. You may have become king because of your birth, but this is a ministry that comes because of appointment. There was a genealogical thing there as well, but it was not for all. It was for only a very select. And the king said, nope, nobody's going to stop me. And all of a sudden, he became leprous. And they said, you need to leave now. And he said, I think I will. There was the prophet, there was the priest, and there was the king. And it wasn't until Jesus that those three offices were actually unified. And so when we look at this, that we are a royal priesthood, we see that God has given us the right to become the children of God. You find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let me just take that back there so that you can see that. In verse number 10, it says, He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. You and I are declared to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have royalty, spiritual royalty in our family. That's who we are. I get a chuckle out of the media many times and their scrutiny of the British royal family, and they're constantly talking about this person breaking royal protocol and this person breaking royal protocol. And it is like one of the utmost offenses that they can write about. Well, I wish that we had a little bit more understanding of the protocol for being a child of the Most High God. We are royalty. We are also a priesthood. A priest is a mediator. It is God's representative to man. A priest was also the representative of man to God. Jesus is our high priest. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But we are also priests. We are there. We're supposed to be representing God to this lost and dying world. And we're supposed to be interceding and offering the sacrifices of praise on behalf of those who need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So he says, you are a chosen generation. You are also a royal priesthood. I really hope that I can communicate that we have responsibility. The priests were the ones who opened the doors to the temple in the Old Testament, and they shut the doors at night. They made access for the people. They opened the doors and they closed the doors. And we need to make sure that daily we are living in such a way that people have an opportunity to meet Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You are a royal priesthood. You are also a holy nation. The word nation means people group. It might not be a big nation. Some of the nations of the world that we hear about have population bases that are less than some of our states have. Their territory is not very large. Their population is not very high. But they're a nation. There's a people group. And the thing about the children of God is that we are supposed to be a nation of people who are holy, that we walk as separated unto God, that we've been cleansed from our sins and we've been empowered by the grace of God to live the life that God wants us to live. And so I hope that you realize, let me put it to you this way. I'm thankful that the people of God are not limited to the assemblies of God. Because the Assemblies of God represents a small fraction of the population of the people on earth. There are many Christians who, if it does not revolve around their particular denomination, then they don't want to have anything to do with it. And that's just not where I'm at. And in fact, on Thursday mornings, we have prayer at our church, and we also then I go from that prayer meeting to a prayer meeting with pastors, and since we've started doing that, not one of those pastors is an Assembly of God pastor. I'll be meeting with some Assembly of God pastors later today. But one thing that we do all have is we have a love for Jesus, and we want to live a holy lifestyle. Someone asked me a question last week, and they were asking about a concern as far as the direction, and I answered it, and I said, I don't see what you're talking about as a mass threat the way that you do that you're talking about. I see that threat with some other denominations and some other groups of people. But what I will say to you on the radio this morning is I do believe that there is an attitude in the church that is more than willing to accept some spiritual contamination by embracing some things that may not be healthy that our culture has to offer. There is a mindset that tends to think that our culture must represent God's culture. And that's not always the case. You know, I come from Oklahoma, but if you took some of the things that we do in Oklahoma and you tried to do them in a mass city in the Northeast, they're going to look at you like you are the strangest person on the planet. I experienced that. You see, I wanted to be friends with everybody. And so when I moved from Oklahoma and I moved to Chicago, I'd start talking to people on the streets that were complete and total strangers. And they would just look at you, not say anything to you. And because they didn't know me, therefore they did not trust me. Well, in Oklahoma, you talk to everybody. You know, Will Rogers was famous for saying something like, a stranger is just a friend I haven't met yet. You know, that was kind of his approach to life is, you know, I have a feeling that once I get to know you and you get to know me, we're going to be great friends. And so let's go ahead and get this relationship thing going right now. But there are other people, and they've been hardened by the environment they live in. And so they think that their culture is very closed off. I was talking to a missionary, and he described the Assemblies of God in the country that he lives. And he said, it is an entirely different way of doing church than what the Assemblies of God is here in America. And it had to do with the culture that they were brought out of. The point of all of the things that I'm trying to say is, we are supposed to be a people that are identified by holiness, not by the label that we have. My credentials have been renewed. They get renewed every year. But it's not the name on my credential card that's going to have any bearing. It is not the label over the church door. It has to do with the fact that Jesus is residing in our hearts, and the longer he resides there, the more unholiness is getting pushed further and further out of our lives. Not to the point that we are not able to relate to people who have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, but we are pushing those things out so that the light of Jesus Christ shines brighter. He says we are his own special people. Too many people are looking to be normal. You know, I chuckle because every generation comes up and you know, they want to have their own distinctive. They want to have their own distinctive haircut. They want to have their own distinctive clothing style and music that they listen to. And they will say things like, look, I've just got to be me. I've got to be the person that I'm supposed to be. And what they don't realize is that everybody that is in that group is trying to be exactly like them. Here, there's a Dr. Seuss little movie type thing about the star-bellied and the non-star-bellied, and I don't remember what the characters were called, but there were the non-star-bellied ones wanted to be like the star-bellied ones, and so they went and they got stars on their belly. Well, when they did that, then the star-bellied one said, you know what, we want the stars removed from us because we want to make sure that we're distinct from them. And then when they did that, then the star-bellied ones, the ones that were non-star-bellied that became star-bellied said, now we've got to go back and get these taken off. And pretty soon, nobody even remembered which ones were the ones in the original situation. They were just all mixed up, all the while trying to maintain an air of superiority over somebody that was different. The truth of the matter is, the world is more than willing to change their fashion standards. The world is more than willing to change their hairstyles, their car styles. They will do because they don't want to look like the masses. The masses tend to want to look like the exceptional, and then when that happens, the exceptional said, oh, I'm sorry, we have moved on from that. Well, I don't want to be normal. I want to be exceptional. God has called me to be a special person, part of a special people group, and I would much rather be accepted by God and rejected by men than be accepted by men and rejected by God. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to go out there and do weird stuff. That just means that I'm going to represent God well. Daniel didn't eat what everybody else ate. He prayed when no one else prayed, and he served kings with excellence. He didn't just give God his leftovers. That made him special. And when crisis hit kingdoms, Daniel was the one that they sought out, and he saw miraculous things. So I would much rather be a person that is a part of a special group to God than I would to be normal and say, oh, well, you know, it was a great life, and now, you know, do you realize that Daniel, because he knew how to pray, saved an entire group of people that had been marked for extermination just because they couldn't interpret the king's dream? And Daniel said, I tell you what, give me 24 hours and I'll have the answer for you. That's the type of special people. I pray that at work, that when people have a problem, you're the person that they come to. I pray that when there's a downturn, that you will have proved yourself more valuable to the company than anybody else. You know, there's always downsizing. You know, there's two types of NFL coaches, those who have been fired and those who are going to be fired. I've heard the same thing about workers out at the Space Center. There are those who have been laid off and those who are going to be laid off. I've been laid off. My company's closed numbers of times. And my goal was always to do such excellence in the workplace that they held on to me as long as they could possibly hold on. And so I encourage you today, you are a special people, and don't apologize for that. Don't try and dumb yourself down. Don't try and depreciate what God has paid such a valuable, valuable price for. God loves you. That's why he chose you. He chose you to serve. He chose you to be holy. And he chose you to be his. That's his will for us today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I've heard all the stories, I've seen all the signs, witnessed all the glory, tasted all that's fine, but nothing compares to the grandness of no.